This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Born July 9th in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, our next guest is a graduate of Indiana University who spent time playing for Washington and St. Louis before being traded to the Kansas City Chiefs, where he spent 5 seasons rivaling some of the most legendary quarterbacks in the NFL in total passing yards. He retired in 2009, making the jump to the broadcast booth and working with numerous charities in Kansas City and with his family foundation. And today, he's here to talk about this Saturday's first preseason game as your Super Bowl champs take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Please welcome Chiefs legend and longtime friend of the show, Trent Green.
How are you, man?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. I know it's football season. This is awesome.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy, dude. The first preseason game of the year, the Jaguars, which and I look over and I'm like, it's on 38th, the spot, which I think is weird. But it's so weird that the Olympics are going on. That's kind of circumventing everything. That's taking priority. We're talking again, but I would normally be sitting early in the morning at the Full Throttle Saloon up on the deck waiting for the call, and I'm still in Kansas City. So everything is thrown off.
Well, it's an unusual year. We've all had to learn how to adapt over the last 5 years or so, right? Just make adjustments, and you got to make it work. Find a way to make it work.
I am getting ready to find a way to make it work. I'm getting ready to jump on my motorcycle and go to Sturgis without the radio station.
Well, I gotta be honest with you. You sound a lot better. You don't sound as hungover as maybe you would have if you were up there.
That's the problem. I want to be hungover. I need to be. Like, there's certain things you look forward to in this life, right? Like, you know,
100%.
You get Super Bowls and Pro Bowls. You guys, everybody has their thing, right? If you're a golfer, you're waiting for the big tournaments.
I went up to practice the last 2 days. I'm obviously not there right now, but I drove up the last couple of days and listened to you complain about your washing machine. Ugh. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, just go buy a washing machine. I heard you mentioned like how many times you tried to fix it and everything. And I'm laughing. I'm in the car by myself laughing as I'm driving up. And I'm like, the number of things that you've bought over the years, right? The random things you buy in the middle of the night while online or just
it's real.
And I'm like, buy a freaking washing machine.
It's a combination. This is what it is. My dad fixed everything. So if you can fix it, so that's part of it. Of course I can afford to buy one, but then there's that part of it. It's like, God damn it, dude, are you going to become that guy who can't fix anything? Are you going to lose?
And then
the other part of me is I'm like, I wash so little clothing. It's you know, I live basically by myself. And then I got P Hill that's been staying with me, but now he's finally got a job, thank God. And I know. You're 100% right.
I know. It's just funny. Knowing all the things you've bought over the years and I'm like, you know, and then the disgust in your voice when you're like, well, I guess I have to get a new dryer too.
Dude, yeah, I know, but there's no fun in buying those things. Like,
it's gutters. It's not as cool as like, hey, I'm gonna buy this you know, jacked up Jeep, or I'm gonna buy this really cool motorcycle, or I'm gonna buy some crazy costume, or I found this guitar online that I, you know, it's like that. Yeah, buying a washer and dryer. Yeah,
you understand. See, thank you. Yeah. Thank you, my friend.
It doesn't carry the same cool level, definitely.
It definitely doesn't have the same the amount of fun you have when you drunkenly buy something and then forget you've bought it, and then it shows up on your doorstep. there's all this joy. Like, there was joy that night, I'm sure. And then the day you show up, you're like, what was this? Dude, I told you, a $7,000 pinball machine showed up my front door like that.
Yes. That's a real adrenaline rush. Like, when people say, I get an adrenaline, that's a real adrenaline rush. When the guy comes, knocks on your door and say, hey, I'm here to deliver your washer and dryer, there's no adrenaline rush.
No. Hey, speaking of adrenaline rushes, though, you've been up. You said you were on your way up to practice. What's the deal? Yeah. I guess it must always happen, but for some reason, I'm catching all the stories about the fighting happening. And people are really, because you have to, you know, I always feel like the fights are part of frustration, but more so to show the coaches you got fired.
There is. It's kind of a mixed thing, right? And there's less fighting now than there was years ago. They've tried to curb that a little bit, but it's still going to happen because guys, you know, you're practicing every day. You're putting pads on every day, especially now. They had pads on Monday, Tuesday, and then they'll have them on again today. And then I think they're on next week, three of the days also. So they're tired. You know, it's kind of that part of camp. They're sick and tired of practicing against each other. You know, the routine's dragging on. They just want to get on the field against another team. They've been in pads. You know, Andy's doing everything he can, and the coaching staff's doing everything they can to ramp up the intensity. Hey, you know, this is where you got to be mentally tough. This is where you got to get through, you know, the aches and pains and the part of camp that you have to get through. I was actually near that fight the other day. And Rashee Rice was just gas. He's been playing great. They were able to get him the ball quite a bit. He had a ton of catches during practice. Well, later in practice, he catches this ball, and one of the defenders, they're not allowed to tackle him and take him to the ground, but they're supposed to kind of thud him just to let him know, hey, I got you stopped. And the defensive coaches want that. The offensive coaches, you know, want, hey, keep him off the ground. And one of the linebackers comes through and kind of gives him a little arm around the neck type thing, like a half clothesline. And while they did that, then another defender came up and tried punching the ball out, which is what you're supposed to do. But Rashee was just not having it. So after that happens, he turns and he throws the ball at the back of Cochran, the linebacker. He throws it back and hits him in the head with the ball. So he comes running over. Well, the problem is this is over on the offensive side of the field. So he comes running over to, like, confront him after getting hit with the ball. Well, it's him and, like, 20 offensive guys. So immediately his helmet goes flying off. So Tranquil comes flying over, and he tries getting in the mix. Well, immediately his helmet goes flying off. So you can understand why. Right. And then that's where Mahomes goes in, and he grabs Tranquil to try and drag him out of it. So it's just – it's you know, nobody's going to, you know, openly punch somebody in the face when they don't have their helmet on. I mean, it's not going to be something crazy like that, but it was a lot of pushing and shoving and screaming and yelling and, you know, finger in the face and, hey, you know, F you and F you and, hey, you know, that kind of thing.
But it's funny. It's
that time of calf.
We have a friend who actually did get knocked out of pre-training, pre-season because it was Baron Corbin, the wrestler. What team was he? Because it was the Cardinals.
I think it was the Cardinals or the Colts.
And yeah, he punched somebody in the face without their helmet on, and that was the end of him. And he got sent home. That was the end of his football
career. Hey, we appreciate your intensity, but bye-bye.
Yeah,
you're done. Yeah.
Hey, now, God forbid, somebody hurts Mahomes in the middle of that. Jesus, God almighty.
Oh, I know. And the crazy thing, I'm trying to think back to some of mine. We used to scrimmage all the time. When we practiced up in River Falls, Wisconsin, we were really close to the Vikings training camp up in Mankato. And so we would always at some point in time in camp have a practice together. And Coach Firmino's like, listen, we're not going up there to fight. We're going up to get some work done. Well, the coach of the Vikings, Mike Tice, he was a former player and had coached for a long time. Secretly, you know, he had told Coach Firmino, I told my guys not to fight, told the guys not to fight. Well, later on, I found out from their players, like in team meetings, he's like, yeah, let's destroy these guys and he wanted fights, right. You know, is basically what he told them. Well, do you remember the pro wrestler Brock Lesnar?
Of course.
Yeah. So Lesnar was trying to transition back into football because he had played college football, went to pro wrestling, was trying to, so he was in camp. Well, he ends up like hip tossing one of our offensive linemen. It's just like, Oh, it was like it was fight after fight. I'm talking bench clearing. Now you were trying to hurt people. I mean, it was just. And I remember one time, I got up in the mix of it because it was one of my offensive linemen. I ran over there, tried to get in the mix of it, and of course, the whole scrum goes flying into the fence, which is right by the stands where all the fans are going. I mean, it's right? Literally like a wrestling event because everybody's going nuts. And all of a sudden, the Viking guys. He grabs me around and he's like, dude, what are you doing in here? You better get the hell out of here. It's like, we're having this whole conversation while everything's going like nuts. And he's like, no, seriously, you need to be out of here. Like you're gonna get like this. And all of a sudden, so I'm kind of like working my way out of the scrum. And then my guys are there and they're like, dude, what are you doing in there? I'm like, so I'm getting reprimanded by both teams. That's like, great. Hey, dumbass, get out of the scrum here. So dude,
Brock Lesnar is a terrifying man. I mean, he's big human being. And
well,
tough.
And he's an idiot. I mean, now I'm talking from a football world. I would not say that to his face. I would not say that outside the realm of the football world. But I'm saying,
yes,
like, we went back to back to it was like 3 out of 4 plays where he tried starting a fight. It was like, come on, we're just trying to get through this drill. Can you not grab somebody's face mask and rip them to the ground? Can you not, you know, leg whip somebody and try and get them on the ground? It's like, so yeah, it was different.
It's weird. I feel like we're going to face a lot of this now. And I want to know what you think, but I get the feeling. And again, I don't have the pulse of football and sports the way hard fans do, but I feel like we're starting this season as the Kansas City Chiefs, as the bad guys, like, Not in Kansas City. Of course, we love it. And it's still to me, when someone goes, oh, the Chiefs, or oh, Mahomes, or oh, this, or oh, that, I go, hold on, are you talking about the Kansas City Chiefs? We're the Chiefs. We're the good, like, we've always been the good guys. We've always been. And all of a sudden, to the rest of the NFL, we're the bad guys.
Well, people, you know, people are tired of the winning, right? It's like, you know, you feel bad just because, oh, they haven't won a Super Bowl in 50 years. Okay, now they've won 3 in the, you know, the last 5 years. Okay, now it's time to move on and find another, you know, another team to root for to you know, to end that misery, right? It's like, you know, when the Red Sox, they hadn't won in forever in baseball, or the Cubs hadn't won forever. They finally won. They're like, okay, good. No, stop. So it's, there's definitely irritability around the league. And some of it is, you know, you look at, there was the interview with Ja'Marr Chase, the receiver for the Bengals, all pro, everything. I mean, one of the best, if not the best receivers in the NFL. And he refuses to say Patrick. That's how irritated he is. He refuses to say Patrick Mahomes' name because they're talking about the top 100 players. And they're like, well, what about that quarterback in Kansas City? And he's like, I won't say it. I'm not going to say it. And there's this whole, like, I don't know if you guys have seen that tape, but there's this whole thing where he's like, I'm not saying his name. I refuse to say his name. He's like, he's beat me twice in the AFC Championship in back-to-back years. So I'm just not going to say his name.
I feel like that gives Patrick so much power, though. When you're inside somebody's head so much, I mean, then they start to think that you're invincible. And that's the second you start to hear that, like, he's just a man, you realize how big he really is in their minds. When they start that kind of phrasing, you're like, are you really saying he's just a man to another guy? He must be a monster.
It started a couple years ago when the Bills scored with 13 seconds left, and everybody's like, "Oh, the game's over. The Bills are celebrating. They're going to go to the Super Bowl." And then, you know, Mahomes did what he did to Kelsey, and then Butker kicks the ball, and next thing you know, it's like, how did we lose that game? There's 13 seconds left. How do we lose it? And you start breaking down. Okay, the kickoff this, and so. Even though he had that kind of that air of invincibility and was going to make anything happen, he had already been an MVP, he had already won a Super Bowl, all those kinds of things. When you come from behind with 13, I mean, when you do that, now people on the other side are like, hey, this thing isn't over. This thing's over. I mean, you know, you look at his record when he's down. Any game in his career where he's down by 10 points or more, he's got a winning record. Yeah. I mean, that's unheard.
It's that Elway Montana Brady thing, like that steal it right from that heartbreaker thing, and it is fun. But I think it's so weird because we were America's second favorite team, whoever your team in your city was, and then when they go, well, who next? Well, the Chiefs are. We root for the Chiefs. People remember our first Super Bowl. I was getting texts from literally all over the world. And not just about our team, about the coach, about everything. Like rock stars, I know musicians were like, finally, good for you, brother, good for you. Like they were
right.
truly happy. And now it's, I mean, you can tell how good we are.
Well, and to take it a step further, the Taylor Swift effect has some of that too.
It's like
yes. now all of a sudden it's like you're being noticed for things other than the football. You know, So, now they're even inundated with, okay, the football season's not even on, and yet we're you know, look at all these players at our concerts all over the world. You know, it's
Giselle Bundchen.
It's a lot of Chiefs a lot of times. So.
Oh, it's Giselle times a million. Because,
right.
you know, it's not just a supermodel. Of course, she's incredibly beautiful, but she's, you know, the most powerful woman in music. She's incredible. She's selling out. I was in England, I saw AC/DC play the first night at Wembley Stadium. They played two sold-out 90,000-person nights, and I thought, that's incredible. 180,000 tickets sold for AC/DC, and then I started looking into it. She had just sold Taylor Swift 8 sold-out Wembley shows, 720,000 tickets. I was like,
God. Are you kidding me?
Eight, man. I was like, that's impossible.
We were just joking about the adrenaline rush or lack of adrenaline rush when you get something delivered. Can you imagine every night performing in front of 90,000 people, like just the rush that you, you were in there for AC/DC. I mean,
and it's different than any other show I've ever seen. I'm telling you, Trent, like AC/DC yeah. in London and those guys, because of that working class mentality and then the sing-along, the style of the music and how long it's been happening. I'm telling you, from the train ride in to the bars outside of Wembley to the walk into the 90,000 seater to the security was nice. The people were nice. People that didn't know each other were throwing arms around each other and having the world's biggest sing-along. 90,000 people. The excitement on the front row was the same excitement in the very back row, as far as back as you could see. I was shooting video because it was one constant moving, living mass. It was the most happy, joyful, for lack of a better term, concert I've ever been to in my life. It was truly the best thing I've ever seen.
That is so cool to hear. That is, yeah, because going to Wembley, the train in and out of Wembley, and the people, I mean, that's not an easy transport. Getting around London is not the easiest thing to do. And the fact that everybody was in a great mood and arms, I mean, that's, those are special shows when you get stuff like that happening.
Yeah, it was so good, man. And now, of course, in Paris, the Olympics, if you've been following that, the it's always weird, but the guy's penis knocked the goddamn bar off. like, come on, your giant wang cost you.
Hey, that guy's famous forever. That's right. Right? It's like... all the years I've watched track and field, I don't think I've ever seen that.
But there's worse things to be remembered for. Listen, it's cool to medal in the Olympics, but I'll tell you what lasts a lot longer is that story. That story, like that dude because he's young. Can you imagine going to a party a year from now and every girl's like, you know what happened, right? That's the guy.
Is he a gold medalist? Did he get on the medal stand? No, he's the guy that hit the bar with. Oh, how you doing? There you go. Hey, yeah.
Yeah, I just, that reminder that my parents' genetics are just, it was just awful what they did to me. Just awful. Everything.
I've been watching it a bunch, though. I know there was all the controversy about the opening and all that stuff, but it's like, the athletes have worked so hard to get to this point. You know, I wanted to continue supporting and watching it. And, you know, my daughter, as you guys know, is a volleyball player. And so watching USA volleyball, you know, they're still going on. They won yesterday in the quarterfinals. So they're on to the semis. I mean, we're watching everything. I mean, when you're, you know, watching track and field, rarely is track and field even on TV over here. But handball, my boys are like, hey, I think I could get into handball. Maybe I can make the handball team in the Olympics. You know, it's just funny, all the different sports that you don't really, that you didn't even, like, I didn't even realize were Olympic sports. And then you see all the different things. So yes, we're all in on it.
And I like the stories, man. Like if there's any, for me, yeah. You know, it's the, cause you know, this is their one shot, right? This is not somebody who's going on to greatness. This is not someone who's going on to money and fame. It's pure. And they did it. And it cost them a gazillion bucks to get there and a million hours of work. And then some of them get there all the way to the culmination. They make it. They're an Olympian and somebody has to lose every round. Right. So their first time in, they're 30 seconds. They got their 30 seconds at the Olympics, and then go home. That's it. That's the whole game. It's all over in 30 seconds.
Yeah, and it's amazing. You know, you hear all the stories, or the agony of it, right? You know, that Jim McKay said years ago, right? The agony of defeat. It's
like, you know,
we were watching the hurdles, and the girl was fourth, and it was going to be close to see who got third, and you could see she was giving the extra effort on the last hurdle, and she clipped the hurdle and fell.
Yeah.
And we were sitting there watching, you know, you're watching the people in the front, but when you watch the replay, it's like, you know, almost, you know, cause live, you're not really paying attention. You're trying to watch the front and the girl, she fell, and it's just like, oh, you're just laying on the ground. Like, I can't believe that happened. I was whatever, however many meters or yards away from the finish line and getting a chance that, you know, it's like all those years. I mean, so it is. Yeah. The good and the bad of it, the amount of training that goes in and, you know,
the Spanish,
to hear their comments afterwards, you know, the hours and hours with my family, with my team, waking up early, my diet, my coaches, my just all the stuff that goes into it for 4 years to get to that point. You know, that's pretty cool.
Well, the Spanish speedwalker lady who thought she had it.
And
she was going for the bronze. Wow. And she's even sticking. Someone's at the line. She's obviously she's sticking her tongue out like, yeah. And then the slow motion look as she realizes somebody is going past her. It's terrible to laugh, but you're like, God damn.
No, it's not.
It's the lesson for a lifetime, right? But to see her, the excitement level, and then just all of a sudden, as you said, when her face changed, it's like all of a sudden, it's not like you can all of a sudden kick it into gear for the final like 5 meters. It's like she was already passed, and she was, oh my gosh, yeah, that was a life lesson she'll be carrying for a long time,
without a doubt. That's the joy of it all. Like when I get into it, that's what I'm looking for. I'm like, what are the stories? What are we watching here? Who's doing what? How are they? The Turkish guy, which I know, and there's no chance he's not a hitman, whatever village he's from.
Oh
in Turkey.
My gosh! Like, is he not intimidating?
Yeah.
Oh.
No gear, no over the top getting ready. He doesn't, you know, everybody else has got these crazy shooting postures and they're just doing everything they can to get that edge. And he walks up, sticks his left hand in his pocket, pulls the gun up with his $10 CVS readers and drops everything. It's crazy.
You're getting me to cough right now because I'm just sitting there visualizing the guy. You know, all these people come up like that. They've got the special glasses, and they're going to flip the one lens closed, and then they're going to do the beam, and they've got the elbow brace on, and they've got the, you know, anchored in the tilt. And this guy walks up like he's chewing gum and got a beer in one hand, and he just kind of flips at him. Okay, I'm good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, yeah, no, it's, he kind of has that, remember Tom Cruise in what was it, Collateral, where he like is a blonde hitman or so, but like bleaches his hair silver or whatever it was. I'm like, oh, this dude's like intense. He's
a Turkish hitman. There's no doubt. That's what he does. That's what he does in the meantime. He,
right.
And then the nerd pommel horse kid. I love that guy too.
He's
having the best life ever now.
He is. And the thing is, did you see the other day he got off of it and he literally can't see without it. And I go, I think that's why he's as good, because he can't see the pommel horse. He's doing it all by feel. Because he gets off and he's kind of waving at the crowd and the camera catches him saying, can somebody find my glasses? Can somebody find my glasses? Because you can tell he was like squinty, like I can't see anything. So it's like,
great.
I couldn't see the scores, couldn't see any of it. So,
it's fun, man. I'll tell you, it's going to be fun again this year. You're back, man. I'm excited for that. You and CBS, everything is going to work out. Everything is going to be great, man. I'm really happy.
Yeah, I'll be back. I'll be back with CBS. The unbelievable, amazing Kevin Harlan, back with him again in the booth. So, this will be our fifth year together. Calling games since we got partnered up, and it's been a great experience. But yeah, looking forward to the preseason. Ari Wolf will be play-by-play guy for the preseason games. We got Jacksonville coming up Saturday night, and then the following week is here in Kansas City against the Lions on Saturday afternoon, and then we finish against the Bears on Thursday, the following Thursday. So three preseason games, got a lot of evaluation, a lot of young guys to look at. Got to figure out the left tackle. Right now it's Kingsley Suamatia, Suamatia. Suamatia, yes. I've got to figure that out. I got to get the pronunciation down because it's a lot of letters and syllables, but I will have it done by Saturday night.
Dude, I think about it every time I watch a broadcast because I know I see him come across the front. I go, I have no idea. Normally you can break a word down, but when it comes to somebody's name, you can never tell how it's going to be pronounced.
Well, and I was, like I said, I've been at practice and I've asked multiple people and I've gotten multiple answers.
Right.
I'm like,
okay,
that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
So, the good thing is that the teams now, a lot of times they'll have the players say it and they'll put it on video so you can kind of see it and a lot, but I'm like, I don't know. It's, you got to get it to roll off your tongue. You can't stop and think about it when you're in the middle of a broadcast. So.
Everybody good at home? All the kids, everybody's great.
Yeah, we're to the empty nesting stage. So our daughter is a freshman in college, and she's playing volleyball at the University of Cincinnati. So Big 12, so that's good. We'll be able to see some matches.
Nice.
So that's really good. Yeah.
Good
for her, and the boys are doing well. They're I think I told you this before. Our second son, after he finished up college ball, he decided to play overseas.
Yeah.
So he played in Italy last year or 2 years ago, and then he played in France this year. And then at the end of his French season, a team from Sweden called and said, hey, our guy got hurt. Do you want to come over for a month and a half to finish off the season in the playoffs?
What a life.
It's like, yeah. Last 2 years he's lived in Italy, France, and Sweden. We're like, yeah, you got a good gig. Now you got to get back here and work. So he's back in town just started work, and what an unbelievable experience for him. So,
that's
and it was
great
for us because we got to go visit him and watch him play and see some cultures and experiences we never would have if he hadn't done that. So.
What about your empty nester now? Like, I know you got a season in front of you, but beyond that, I mean, what are you going to go do?
Well, we're going to go to a lot of volleyball matches, and then we're going to go to my broadcasting. So the empty nesting, I don't think, will really kick in until after the football season now.
Yeah.
So, it's who knows what we're going to do. That's what we've done following our son the last couple of years. We've always said we wanted to travel to all these places, but we always kept saying, we'll do it later. And then now what we've learned is, like, while we're able to and while we can still move around and we can, you know, like, we went to Italy and we were, you know, you're walking like 8 miles a day. It's like, you know, while we're still physically able to do all that.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to start looking into that more. Maybe find some places. I know you travel a lot. You've made some, I don't know if I'll be crazy enough to go to Russia, but I think that, you know, some of the places I've heard you talk about, like we never would have gone up to, you know, Finland, Sweden, Norway, you know, kind of up in the Baltic Sea area and all that. I don't know if we ever would have gotten up there had he not gone up there to play. And we loved it. It was beautiful up
there.
I mean, it was phenomenal.
Everything new is great. Like, I'll tell you, man, try Vietnam. And the reason it's so great is because it's like having your brain dunked in cold water, man. How many times do you drive home and not remember how you got there because it's autopilot? You eat the same things. We go to the same restaurants.
Right.
You go to somewhere where you don't understand the language at all. You can't read the alphabet. It's just completely foreign. And suddenly, everything you do, how do I find a bathroom? How do I eat? How do I cross the street? How do I find my hotel? You're alive.
Yes.
Every synapse is firing. Every neuron is firing.
And our son kept telling us that. He's like, you know, you got to, there's a language barrier. You got to figure out how to get on the train, how to get on the bus, how to order a meal, how to find out where a bathroom is. You know, it's like, and you're going through all, and when he would have these breaks in between games, he would travel a bunch to all these different places and just kind of experience things. And he's not shy about just going by himself. He's like, hey, if I've got a day off, I'm just going to jump on a bus and I'm just going to go check out this city and look at, you know, walk the town and go to churches and go to the beach and go to, you know, just kind of check things out. So he's learned a lot, which really opened our eyes to a lot. I mean, we went to this in Sweden. We went to this this Viking restaurant,
awesome.
You know, where they announce you when you come in. Oh, here comes our son's name is Derek. They go, here comes Derek. And, you know, but they're using the voice and the booming announcement. And, you know, we're in this dark cellar. And here comes Derek from Kansas, and he's brought friends with him. And he's, you know, they bring him in, and, you know, they set down all this stuff, like moose and deer and bear and like all
that's
these
great
different things. And it's like, I never would have, you know, we never would have tried all that. And, you know, it's so different experiences, right? It's not like you don't do that meal every night, but we did it one night just to say we did it. You know, it was like,
We ate guinea pigs at the foot of Machu Picchu at Aguas Caliente, and their little heads are still on. And I was like, oh.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You did not just say you ate guinea pigs.
Dude, that to them, because that's, so when you climb Machu Picchu, you realize they raised guinea pigs inside their little rooms on top of the mountain, because you could, they procreate fast. They're a good, for one person, it's a meal, right? You.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're easy to raise in a smaller environment, like on the top of a mountain. And so it's a very traditional meat that they raise there. So, oh, dude, I check out. I nope out on. We were in France with my buddy Joe, and he was eating snails the size of a racquetball. Like,
oh my gosh!
And I was like, no, man, I'm out.
Yeah. Well, we did, when we were in France with him visiting him, we did the snails. I couldn't do the beef tartare though. I was like, I have a problem eating raw meat like that. And so, actually both boys did, cause they're like, well, I'm doing it. This is why you're here. This is to try new things and try new experiences. I'm like, yeah, I just couldn't couldn't do that. But they both liked it. They both were like, I won't ever do it again. But it was, you know, I'm glad I tried it.
I got a buddy from Wisconsin that does the white trash version, which is, they call them cannibal sandwiches. And it's pumpernickel bread, onion, and they go to the store and get ground round. And they salt it and pepper it and eat it. And it's a, if you Google cannibal sandwiches, Wisconsin, like, these crazy sons of bitches do it all the time. And it's white trash steak tartare. And I'm like, but this is also the same friend of mine who eats a frozen pizza with mayonnaise on it and rolls it up like a burrito. So it's,
oh, wow.
He has questionable cuisine taste, man.
Yeah.
Well, dude, and anytime you want any information anywhere I've gone, man, cause I'm telling you, take your girl to Prague and wander around. It is really astounding.
I have heard Prague. I've heard Prague is like just phenomenal.
It is. It's the history, the everything to watch, like the walk around. Like, dude, we were walking, according to our little phones, 11 miles a day every day between Poland and England for 7 days. We broke the 60 mile mark, including flights.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was.
That's phenomenal.
Fun, man. Anyway.
Have you ever done Croatia?
No. No, as far as we got was the Czech Republic and Russia, Poland, have not made it into Croatia yet.
Yeah, that's another one people keep this kind of like one that you need to check. If you know, obviously it's not the easiest to get to and all that, but they're like, so yeah, no, there's a lot out there that, so that's what I think we're going to do. We're going to kind of map out like every year, maybe, you know, try and hit something like that. Why we still can, and why we understand it, why we can move around, and, you know, all that good stuff. So
if you told your girl, your wife, if you said, look, Johnny and I are going to go on a 2-week walk.
That's right.
She'd be like, uh-huh. No.
Yes. Yeah, where's your return flight going to?
Yeah. Dude, one time, like, last story, cause we've had some weird stuff. My buddy was telling him yesterday, my buddy Joe in St. Petersburg, Russia, got roofied at a strip club after I already went back to the hotel room and locked myself in behind this weird steel door. And I had to go back at 3 a.m. trying to find him in a dumpster or in the alleyway. I was afraid something bad had happened. And the truth was, they had just robbed him and used his credit cards.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. You know, it's, oh, the shenanigans are high. I promise you. You'll come back with stories. We can go.
Yeah, I'll take you up on that sometime.
Good to hear your voice, brother. I can't wait to see the season, man.
All right. Great catching up. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.